Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We you know, we attitude, we moody, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Fans, the College Ball Show is back, and we're here to discuss, banter, and just downright getting the arguments over college football. Obviously, week 7 was just almost unspeakable, and that's saying something for me because I don't even know how to shut up. You know what I mean? Week 7, on paper, looked pretty paper thin. I'm not going to lie. Look kind of paper thin. No ranked versus ranked teams going head up. But that's the college football regular season. Throughout the college football season, probably once a month, we come down to this and say, it doesn't really matter who's playing ranked versus ranked or, you know, whatever. We're going to get some upsets. We're going to get some tight games. And that's exactly what we got. We got all of that. I'm talking all of it. So we definitely, we're going to get into this week 7 recap and banter, break it all down. Then we'll get into the predictions for week 8. There is some very important games on the docket. That is for sure. And I mean, it's one of those things. Oh, by the way, you're listening live right now, either on your phone or at blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. That's where the College Ball Show podcast can be found. And under that Rope-A-Dope Radio podcast umbrella, check us out on Apple Podcasts, a.k.a. iTunes. You can rate and review. Player FM is another great source. TuneIn, Stitcher, and pretty much anywhere you're going to listen to your podcast, we will be there. The College Ball Show is a weekly, although we did miss last week, scheduling conflicts, but it's a weekly podcast that goes all the way to the national championship covering college football. Then we switch gears to college basketball. We take that all the way to the national title game. And it's literally like a week later, 10 days later, to the NBA playoffs start. We take that all the way to the finals, past the finals, to the draft. And, of course, our last show of the season is early July. And we all know what that means, basketball fans anyway, NBA free agency. So stick with us all year as far as, well, calendar year and the whole year for college football and basketball. Anyway, like I said, I mean, where do you start? So many numbers from week 7. I mean, it's just ridiculous. You know, we'll get into some of those numbers. But just right off the top, 4 AP top 10 teams go down, 5 previously unbeaten teams go down, and all in all, 7, a total of 7 top 25 AP teams go down. Some of them went down swinging, some of them just got beat up, you know, some of them just got beat up and what a, you know, as much as I'm going to bring in Marshall here in just a second. Hopefully Scott can call a little later here too. As much as I could complain about Friday college football, especially when it's high-level college football like we're seeing, where it's really important, it's not just smaller schools or once in a while Boise State, you know, they'd be playing important games. Some of them weren't, some of them were. But, you know, it's just one game usually. But, man, this Friday stuff, man, we're seeing a lot of upsets. Last Friday, Clemson gets beat. They did a little from a couple years ago, Clemsoning. They definitely did their Clemsoning routine on this one, even though it's kind of sacrilegious to say now because they've had such a strong program in the last handful of years. Obviously, the returning champs here, 27-24, Syracuse pulls off a huge upset. And then really another shocker, not that Cal couldn't compete at home versus number 8 unbeaten Washington State. That's not really up for debate. We figure they could compete because they've competed with plenty of good teams this year and beaten some. But 37-3, you know, last year my Gophers, my Minnesota Gophers, who, by the way, have lost 3 in a row, all of them somewhat winnable. maybe not Michigan State, really, although they did make it a little bit more of a game. But anyway, wow. I mean, last year it was, I think, 17-12. My Gophers contained that, you know, explosive, high-powered, high-potent offense from Washington State. The coach has a great track record to score points. But to only put up 3 points, that was, you know, just a major, major shocker. Just kind of breezing through a couple other scores that surprised us. LSU playing at home, you know, it's no walk in the park. Even though they're struggling this year, they've bounced back from some September struggles. They get the job against Auburn. They get the job done, I should say, 27-23 against Auburn, who really looked like they had turned the corner offensively. That was their biggest thing. They needed a quarterback, and they just needed to get back to scoring some points instead of always relying on their run game and their defense. My squad, Miami, back-to-back now, having to come from behind, 25-24 with about 5 seconds left. They kicked the field goal coming off the heels of the rivalry game, the last-second win against Florida State. The cardiac canes, I guess I'll call them. USC in a great game, really fun, entertaining game, 28-27 over Utah. Another great game, Oklahoma over Texas. That was back and forth. That fourth quarter, if you really couldn't tell who was going to win. 29-24, though, Oklahoma does get the job done. Michigan needed overtime to beat Indiana. Another upset here, South Dakota. San Diego State University gets knocked off. They were unbeaten by Boise State, 31-14. And who else? Texas Tech goes down swinging. 46-35, West Virginia gets the job done. And then last but not least, at least the top 25 anyway, Navy suffers their first loss by the hands of Memphis. The Memphis Tiger beat them 30-27. It's going to be interesting to see both those teams bounce back off of that interesting game as well. That was one of those games that really kind of stood out. We do have some big games. Penn State for week 8. Penn State, coming off a bye week, really enters their meat and potatoes of their schedule. They do have a mighty struggling offense from Michigan, mightily. They were rough on offense last year. This year, it's just downright awful. But they have a stretch coming up. Penn State does. Of course, USC, my partner in crime here, Marshall, he's got a big game going against Notre Dame. They're going to have their starting quarterback. But we will get into week 8 in a short little bit. But we got to start with the great week 7. Marshall, first of all, how you doing, buddy? Late night. We'll try not to go too deep because I know you probably got to get up pretty early.
Yeah, well, part of that's coaching football down in Texas, Chris. we had our three teams play, C team lost, B team lost, but A came out and took care of business, so it was a very long day. But when you drive home off a win, it feels much better than driving home off a loss. I'll say that. And
yeah,
you know,
I bet it does.
my voice is slightly gone, but that's from good cheering and not bad cheer. I was trying to find a way to summarize what all we took in, because as you mentioned, this weekend. And I don't know if you may have slipped, but Washington also went down to Arizona State, which was
mind-numbing.
But I think what we're going to have here by the end of the year is a massive just argument of, well, whose loss is worse than whose? Like, normally in college football, at the end of the year, it's always like, okay, well, we got Bama and Ohio State and a third real good team, and that fourth team is like, who can that be? But the way these last couple weeks have gone, starting with Iowa State beating Oklahoma, we're going to have a plethora of teams where, like, well, my bad loss isn't as bad as yours, but Team C, D, and E all have one loss, too. It's amazing to see so many powerhouses go down to games where they were massive point favorites. I mean, what Washington, I mean, they, in my opinion, they've gotten as much praise or even more than my USC team, and they came out and just laid an absolute egg. I mean, I guess Arizona State is good at home, and they're a program on the rise slightly, but Arizona State's not known for defense. They're known to beat you 50-48, and they pull that upset off once a year. They now shut out Oregon's offense, and they made Washington look embarrassing. So to just add on to the Syracuse game and the Washington State game, it's almost like, Chris, there was a trickle-down effect. Because on Wednesday night, or Thursday, like, Troy played South Alabama. Now, I know that's not a game that deals with teams will break down for a national title game by any means, but Troy was 4-1 and a pretty respectable mid-major that just came off being LSU, and they lost Southern Alabama, who was 1-4. So we had a big upset by a point spread in Vegas terms on Thursday. We had two massive upsets by a point spread in Vegas terms on Friday, and then Saturday was, and even the NFL correlated into a Sunday with a bunch of upsets. So it was almost like a massive trickle-down effect of, like, you know, some of these teams must have been walking into a game thinking, oh, we got this win wrapped up. And then, boom, you lose. And now you're starting to look at, oh, well, we better hope that team that beat us continues to win, because we're going to have a hell of a show of debating in about 5 or 6 weeks, brother, on who do we think deserves it. Because a lot of these teams have a loss that, first, you really can't comprehend, because they had no business losing to that team.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, we do see that once in a while where you're like, wow, that's the team they lose to. I mean, in a sense, maybe not as extreme, but Clemson did actually lose a game they probably shouldn't have last year to a team that wasn't on their level, but not quite like this. You're right, though. And the one thing, though, that I mean, we didn't do a show, but I always do a weekly article for college football. And one thing I did mention was, although there's no rank versus rank, if you went back to last year or the year before, you have plenty of top 25 programs, you know, still, like, right around that area. Just because they're not ranked this year doesn't mean they're completely off the map. You know what I mean? I mean, i.e. LSU,
true,
a couple other of these squads. And you start to go, well, man, if they just play up to the competition, up to that level, talent won't be the issue. But they have to really focus in and do some things that obviously haven't been going their way this year, hence, you know, their position or their non-ranked or whatever. So there was that, and then there is just the look ahead, the trap game, you know, all that type of stuff. So, and you're right. See, there were so many upsets, Marshall. I just went right by Washington. Like, that's how really, I mean, that is funny. Like, especially, like you said, for Washington State and Washington to put up 10 points, I mean, combined, like, what
that's
hell,
unreal.
You know? It is. And we also had a lot of weather delays as well. TCU ended up getting a workman-like win 26-6. They slowly put it on Kansas State. That was delayed about 3 hours. My Gopher squad, that game was delayed a little bit. Purdue played Wisconsin pretty well. I figured Purdue could sneak under that. I think it was like 16-point spread, which I thought was a little too wide. We do have a couple of wide ones this week as well. But yeah, man, it's really hard to just focus in on one game. Obviously, Clemson did lose their guy at quarterback to a concussion. I think it was in the second or third quarter. Third quarter. And Syracuse, man, speaking of quarterbacks, you know, they got a really – I mean, Dungy is a really fun quarterback. He can slang it. He threw for three touchdowns. He's pretty damn accurate, and he also ran. You know, he's definitely a dual threat. You know, it's funny because it was – like our last show and really the last couple shows, and this is kind of all around the country, you know, as far as experts and stuff like that and podcasts and whatnot and social media stuff. It was really Alabama, Clemson, and then let's figure out the rest here. And that's exactly what we're figuring out, except Clemson now joined the bunch of let's figure it out. Now, obviously, it was a highly penalized game on both sides. There was only one turnover, and it wasn't Clemson that did it. They didn't rush the ball as well, and especially just the attempts. You're looking at 50 to 25 in attempts, and they didn't throw the ball more either. Ball control was huge for Syracuse, 34-52 to 25-08. Obviously a big advantage there. And now, you know, it's kind of crazy because now my Miami Hurricanes are playing Syracuse next. So the one thing I'll say is at least they now know, hey, guess what? Syracuse is not some chump team. You know, they're not just waiting, you know, keeping the seats warm for the college basketball squad. You know what I mean? In the arena, in the dome, you know what I mean? So, but so many wild games in that Oklahoma-Texas game. You know, Texas, you can just – it's much like last year. Sure, they'll put up some rough performances, especially defensively, that first game out of the gate, you know. But there's just time where you can just see them almost turning the corner. And it looked like in the fourth quarter with like 6 minutes left that they had gone up, and it kind of felt like they had the momentum, although it was hard to judge that game. And that was a real – obviously, you know, we all know about the rivalry and whatnot. But to me, they showed a lot of balls, man. They were down like 20-0, like almost midway. I think it was midway. Yeah, actually, I'm looking at it right now. 3:14 is when they finally got something on the board. And Oklahoma came out looking good in the – had a couple of good drives, at least one. I think it was a field goal. So, you know – Texas just—they're 3-3. They're gonna play you hard, but Oklahoma really, and Baker Mayfield, they really needed. Obviously, they needed that. But here we are in the Big 12. You know, a lot of these one-loss teams now, like you said, people are starting to kind of do what they do to the Big 12. They're doing that to the Pac-12. I want to talk about that. They're saying now. I mean, who's the best hope to get there? Just USC, you know, that type of thing, when we know it still is pretty damn early, even though we are here week 8. But I'd say probably a very impressive performance in someone that's obviously in the pole position of the Big 12 is TCU, and they keep piling up wins. And now they are back to being a hell of a defensive squad, Marshall, and that's something that the coach – that was like a real strong – that was something he always brought. You know, a running game and a defense. You know what I mean? And it does feel like they're back. And Kenny Hill is getting the job done. He's gotten over some of the struggles that he had, you know, after the first couple of games. It seems like it's a jinx for any A&M quarterback who starts the first couple of games hot. And next thing you know, they're throwing two picks and they're getting pick six. Then the whole thing unravels for them, although they got a nice little win as well. But what do you think of the Big 12 right now? TCU really showing their worth. And then let's talk about that Pac-12. A lot of people, like I mentioned, now that, you know, it seemed like Washington and USC clearly had, you know, the strongest case as far as what they did last year, what they're coming in with, their talent and all that. Like you said, they still were really riding the wave, even though they lost some talent last year. They're riding the wave from last year's success, Washington is making that Final Four. So what do you think about TCU, man, and just the Big 12, where they're at? Obviously, the Oklahoma game is just – I mean, every game is important, but that game becomes, you know, uber important. But also, is it too early? Are they trying to, like, put – is just this ESPN-type stuff where they're just trying to, like – piss people off around the country in certain areas like they kind of do, and just saying basically right now the Pac-12 is what the Big 12 has been the last couple of years, and they're kind of screwed, even though we do have plenty of football left.
See, I don't know if I can completely agree with that about how, you know, the Big 12's chance of having a team represent them in the title game is slim, you know, it is slim, because in the Big 10 – you got Michigan, Michigan State, and Penn State, Ohio State. I mean, basically, all those teams are going to play each other. So you're telling me if they don't go round robin beating each other in the Big Ten that they're not in the same boat? I think overall, Chris, you had a garbage team of Texas Tech appears to be on the up and rise this year. I think West Virginia, in my opinion, maybe has the best college suited quarterback in the conference. I know that Baker Mayfield's probably the top dog, but, I mean, you can't tell me when you watch Will Greer play that there's a lot of passes that he can't make that Baker Mayfield makes. And then you got Oklahoma State, and KSNT. I mean, I don't know. I think you are getting some negativity and media publicity, because at the start of the year, the same people saying the Big 12 are really damaged for having a team make the finals were saying that Oklahoma State's got the best offense in the country. Now, I heard that from all sorts of people. And now, you know, they have one loss, also, you know, they're a joke. And Oklahoma, you guys thumped Ohio State. So I'm not quite buying into the Big 12 is not going to have a chance to represent themselves, because I think they're still in there, especially with all the chaos that has been going on. Now, who's the best team in the Big 12? That might depend on what day you want to play football, Chris. But I think that as a conference, I think they're on the up and up. There really isn't a joke of a team. I mean, you got Kansas, but I mean, besides them being a little pawn, like, you can't tell me Iowa State's a walk in the park, or Texas Tech this year stepped up their game, and no one ever wants to go to Kansas State. So I guess I'm a little bit in minority with you about how Big 12 is actually going in the right direction. Now, for the Pac-12, I think that conference is maybe not quite as up and up as the Big 12 is, but it's also not quite of a joke either. Now, obviously, the West Coast late-night games don't help that with the East Coast media, and they may have a tough chance of having someone represent them, because Stanford's already got a couple of losses. Oregon's not quite there this year. So basically, we'll be USC or Washington, and that's it. But USC is a pretty good squad. And, Chris, I want to say Washington's good, but I'm really not quite sure what they did on the field there Saturday and how to, like, kind of comprehend that. Because my one point to put the cherry on top of last week, really, in regards to weekday games, and I don't get why people don't realize this more in college, is that you hear all the time in the NFL, why do Thursday night games suck? Because they don't have time to prepare. That's why people hate watching Thursday night football in the NFL. So one thing I've realized since we've been doing our show the last couple of years is the amount of times a team will lose on the road on a Thursday or Friday night game. You're taking college kids who do not have the skill level of NFL players and chopping off their practice time substantially during the week because you have to travel for a day. So Syracuse won at home against Clemson, and Cal beat Washington State at home. So I think a lot of this crazy chaos we've noticed, which is kind of thrown around some of the conferences we've just discussed, especially with the Pac-12, at least for Washington State, the fact is these college coaches, when you shoot a week off a day, that's tough. If NFL kids can't do it, I should say NFL grown-ups can't do it, it's that college kids do. So the one thing I think we'll kind of want to see throughout the year is how do these weekday games continue to play out? And I just wanted to throw that in. But yes, I do think that the Big 12 has still been okay. and the Pac-12, you're probably laying your hopes on my USC Trojans and maybe Washington, but, man, that Washington one, that one really made me scratch my head because they scored, what, 7 points on Arizona State. And Washington's got apparently a top, you know, three quarterback in the country and one of the best receiver special team guys in the country. So that one was kind of tough to comprehend, my friend.
Yeah, and it's not like they turned the ball over a bunch or were highly penalized or, you know, you just can't really put your finger all the way on it.
No.
And that was kind of the performances last week. It was kind of like, wow, you guys looking ahead? Or I do think maybe, you know, the Pac-12 has been a little top-heavy with Stanford, USC, that type of thing. And maybe now, maybe Washington's not as good as they were last year. Right? But maybe there is that the Arizona States, the other squads who have struggled the last year and two, I'd say. I think that's pretty, you know, that's pretty easy to say, you know, compared to where they were a couple years before that. And like that Arizona State game that you and I watched, or actually, no, that was somebody else. Forget it. I was going to say in Vegas. But maybe it's just a deeper conference now. And like you said, USC is now, you know, having to carry that torch, and they still have, right here, you know, they have Notre Dame, who has only one loss, and it was the Georgia who's undefeated, and it was 20-19. So maybe it is USC. And I just think some of those other squads are starting to come back to life. At least that's what it looks like in conference play. So maybe it's deeper, not as top-heavy, but it's definitely deeper now. I really do. Obviously, Colorado, not what they were last year. But then again, they had kind of built to that, and I'm sure we'll see them, improve and come into next year and the year after and kind of redevelop a winning squad like they had, you know, originally had to do in the first place to get there. So, couple other games to talk about. Utah played a pretty damn good game, man. That quarterback played pretty good. I think that's one of the better games as far as playing a good opponent that I think I've seen out of him. And in the fourth quarter, USC just started putting it together. And, you know, obviously they scored, you know, they did get, I think it was in the third quarter where they cut it to 21-14, tied it up, got over the top of that. Obviously, if you're a Utes fan, you know, you're wondering, should they have gone for the two-point conversion and all that? You know, that is a rough one. You're thinking, gosh, really, dude? But, you know, when you look at the second half, they got that touchdown with 42 seconds to play. So, obviously, you know, they hadn't scored the whole second half at that point. So, yeah. Maybe he's thinking, hey, you know what? We got out on them early, and it's not going my way. You know what I mean? And screw it. Let's just go for it. If you look at the third down conversion, they started getting better. The Trojans did. They were starting to really – I mean, Darnold really, you know, started getting it together. USC, obviously – had some Fumbaruski stuff going on. That hampered them a bit. But overall, man, they got the job done, kept it on course, and now, like I said, they do have a big game coming up. And as I mentioned, just to keep it in within our squads here, you know, Miami back-to-back games that they pull it off in the last handful of seconds of the frickin' games. And, It's fun. It's great. You know, it's nice to be in the top 10 and all that, even though we all know the AP poll isn't really the top 10 right now. But obviously they're going to have to play better as a whole three units, you know, as a whole team, all three units together. And the good thing is they haven't put a complete game together, even a three quarters of a game together. The bad thing is they keep playing rough on offense early in the game, and thank God for the defense, you know, and if you look at some of these second halves, putting up 24 points and, you know, that type of thing. So I'm happy, though, because right now they're on a 10-game winning streak. They won their last five last year. They won their first five now. So when you put 10 together, I think it's the third or fourth longest streak in the nation. I don't care who you're playing. I think the best win was West Virginia last year in the bowl game, who they were even, I think, better last year than they are this year. But like you said, they got a good quarterback. They had a good quarterback last year, actually, too. It was smart for them to get Greer as long as he, you know, stays off the juice. But, you know, I mean, let's be honest. But
oh yeah,
it's just nice because you got to get the ball rolling. And it's been a long, long, long time since they won 10 in a row. And like I said, maybe against two ranked teams in that stretch, but I'm not out here saying they're back. You know what I mean? It's just really nice to see that ball rolling. And once you get the ball rolling at Miami, it's all downhill because of the recruiting. So as far as that, but what do you think about that USC, that second half? It did seem like they clicked, Darnold clicked. He didn't throw it, even though there were some fumbles. He didn't throw a pick this game, which obviously that's an improvement. Sometimes he just tries to go too nuts and gun-sling it in there. What do you think of that second half? Because they need to keep that momentum of that second half, obviously, going into another big game, a ranked team. We're going to find out just how good Notre Dame is going up against your squad, the USC Trojans.
Yeah, you know, our offense is just so it is either rolling or just garbage. And I don't know, I mean, the play calling to me, I just don't feel like that team Martin's quite found a rhythm. Sometimes we're clicking and we can't be stopped, and sometimes it's like the whole world is just blaming Sam Darnold. I'm about to start watching games on mute. Now I realize that he plays for USC. He's a quarterback. He's got Heisman hype. But, I mean, it's getting to the point where when you watch a game, any time there's an incomplete pass, it's like, what was Sam Darnold thinking? What was he doing? What about an interception? What was he making there? I mean, it's going a little extreme. If you're going to start ripping him, why don't we rip on, you know, Rosen and Browning? Browning had a trash game, and you know, so – I think we're going a little.
Well, he did get piled on, though, the other way, though, with accolades, too. So, you know.
He did.
I think he got over the top. You're throwing 9 picks in, like, 5 games. I think they were a little over the top. Maybe it's just over the top now, too, like you said on the flip side.
Yeah, you're right. It could be a counterbalance. But, again, you know, when they're rolling, though, I mean, that offense moves. They got two of the better running backs in the country. I love how those guys play. And when Sam throws when he's clicking, he when he is on, he is probably the best pocket quarterback in the country. So it's so hot and cold. I'm happy they got the W, though. USC's defense, again, people don't talk about that much. That defense is pretty damn good. You know, the offense has been having issues this year, but every game they've been in, whether it's Washington State, Texas, Utah, okay, I mean, the defense plays their butt off. They don't get the hype, and we've had the injuries on offense and all this stuff, and Sam good, Sam bad, and all that, but that defense is legit. Now, I think we did get a little lucky on the roll of the dice going for 2. I kind of had a flashback to that first week of the year when Georgia Tech went for 2 against Tennessee.
Yeah.
Came up short. Yep. You know, Utah went for 2. And I get that the coaching decision – and being a coach, I guess just my thought on that is that you played your kids have played a great game for the whole game, and you let it come down to one play, which if you call it right, it works. But I still, and maybe this will be how I handle when I get older. It's like, let's go into overtime. You know, I maybe it's momentum, but man, to have to look in the kids' faces after the game, like, man, we called the wrong player, man, or one guy missed a block. It's like, well, it's such a huge call. And maybe I'm more of a let's go into overtime because, I mean, Utah, they had a couple of receivers that were making our DBs look bad. So if you have a couple of receivers that basically been unguardable all game, I would take my chance in OT. I mean, I know USC's offense is rolling, but anyways, hell of a game, a great game. Utah showed some pieces of Chris. They got some athletes. There's a couple of guys on that team I don't want to play next year. I hope they go pro, or I hope they're seniors, because some of those guys were making plays, making us look embarrassing. And normally USC doesn't get out-athleted, but it was happening that day. So nice win, though. Now you got another good test on the road. Whoever in God's name made this USC schedule this year with no bye week is just a killer. I mean, I haven't heard the injury stories as much lately because you got a little lucky game against Oregon State. But hopefully they're healthy because, man, this not having a bye week is just it's a bloodbath. You're praying that your guys.
It only pays off. It only pays off if, in fact, you never lose another game, because it will pay off for that conference final. You know.
Yeah,
but that's a big risk.
Have a bye week. You're right. Absolutely. I don't know.
It's definitely backwards.
Yeah. And for Miami, I realize all you have to do is, when it's a close game, throw a fade to that receiver on the right side of the field who has like five catches on the year, and have him make a spectacular gymnastic juggle catch and win the game. That's your play. Get down to the very end. Throw a fade to your receiver.
Even Lane
on the right
Kiffin
side.
Could call that play.
You're right, brother. Because it's crazy. It's the same receiver that made the sick catch to beat Florida State. He had the same kind of bobbled, herky-jerky
catch.
Yeah,
this one was even harder of a catch. Yeah, it was bobbled. It was a little underthrown.
That was crazy play. But, hey, both our boys won, so that's a plus in the right direction, sir.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The quarterback, he's in his sixth game starting. He started like 2 years ago on just a random injury thing, but other than that, he's good. He's actually a former baseball player. He played for the Canes for a while. They got a pretty good program there, actually a really good program. And so you just think you got an arm, right? You played baseball, so, and he does, but he freaking tries to throw it out of the park sometimes. He's just like, dude, the guy's 6'5", man, so I don't know where the hell you're going with that. There's no LeBrons on this team, dude. Like, you can't just, you know, everyone can't jump. Everybody doesn't have a 48-inch vertical here, so I don't know where you're throwing that. But so there is some of that. He does need to contain himself and settle in a little bit. And they have been missing their number one threat at wide receiver. But, man, there's been a couple of guys, young and veterans, that have really stepped up, tight end and wide receiver. And their running back, Walton, is done for the season with an ankle injury. And but you know, the backup Homer came in and had a great game. He's a little, you know, it's nice to have both of them, obviously, but at least they do still have a stud running back. And hopefully they can not get injured in that moment. I mentioned my Minnesota Gophers. They played Michigan State hard. They switched quarterbacks right before the end of the halftime. And Minnesota did, and it definitely worked better, you know. But they made it respectable. They started showing some signs on offense of just being consistent. It was really a tale of two halves for both sides. You know, defense played good enough to keep them in, whereas the offense just was ugly first half. Then the offense played pretty good, and the defense made some mistakes. So, rough go for my Gophers right now, but, you know, hopefully we can get – right now we got our best two defensive players out right now. So I'm really hoping – you know, Winfield Jr., I should say, he might be done for the season, which is a real bummer because he's by far our best player. And the Steve Richardson, I think he'll be back. He's a senior defensive tackle. He's been one of our better players the last couple of years, so I think they're going to be back. They got to win this week against Illinois. Great game, shootout, 46-35, West Virginia, Texas. West Virginia was up pretty big in this game. In fact, beginning of the third quarter, 9 minutes mark, 35-17. It looked like Texas Tech had it cruising, had it on cruise control. But then four straight touchdowns. Four. Those Mountaineers, and like you said, Greer had a great game. Five touchdowns. Phenomenal game, really. Couple other just stats to throw out there. Speaking of Washington's defeat by the hands of Arizona State. It was the first time they have had a victory over top five AP in 21 years. Washington State senior Luke Falk just struggled, man. The guy's had a great career, but wow, he threw five interceptions. Like, yay. And Khalil Tate, who had set the record for over 300, I think it was 328 yards rushing 2 weeks ago, he bounced back. He coming off, you know, a phenomenal game. He backed it up with 230 rushing and three touchdowns for Arizona in their win, 47-30 over UCLA, UCLA. And by the way, Lamar Jackson became the first underclassman to pass for 7,000 yards and rush for 3,000 yards in the history of FBS. So kudos to him. He's still making plays. Their squad's not quite as good as it was last year, but still fun to watch. I'll let you wrap up the rest of, you know, anything that you want. We do have number 2 Penn State versus number 19 Michigan, as we spoke of, number 11 USC versus number 13 Notre Dame. There are some interesting games on the docket as well. Navy trying to bounce back off their first loss. They're taking number 20 Central Florida on, who's one of those non-power five teams where you look at and go, huh, pretty good club. And also, Memphis is at Houston, so that should be a pretty fun game. And right now, the Miami Hurricanes are favored by 15 or 16 points over Syracuse. So I'm looking at against the spread and going, huh, my Canes love to play close games. And like I said, there's not necessarily going to be any kind of like, you know, overlooking them, obviously, in this one. But I don't know. We'll see. What else you got from week 7, man? Because, like I said, so many tight games, so many great upsets. fun week. What do you got for us to kind of recap, put a bow on it as we get into this week 8 roundtable here?
Yeah, my last point will be three quick hitters, I guess. Scott's boys pulled off a win in Indiana. Michigan won in first OT. They basically stopped Indiana four times on the 2-yard line overtime for a win. So Scott and his Wolverines were happy. Tennessee lost to South Carolina. They had the ball on the 3-yard line with a second to go and couldn't convert a touchdown.
And I forgot about that game. I'm glad you brought that up.
A lot of people think they actually would fire Butch Jones, but since they got Bama this week in Bama, they're kind of leaving them out. They're like, dude, we're just going to kind of hang you out over the ocean with, like, blood on your legs so sharks can come eat you. We don't want to do that to our interim coach.
Not to interrupt you on your last point, but I saw some South Carolina fans that had their colors, but don't fire Butch Jones. Like, don't fire him, please. We want to keep getting these W's.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Yeah. I saw one that said, keep Butch around. It was pretty clever stuff. And my last point is I got to give credit to LSU. You know, we've kind of joked about Orgeron being a decent coach. They lose to Troy. And they were down 20-0 with like 10 minutes left in the second quarter. And they came back and beat Auburn, who many people thought was the hottest team in football besides Bama. So if we're going to rip them when he's down, we got to give massive credit to Orgeron for, dude, you're down 20-0 at home. You're getting your butt kicked. And you come back and beat Auburn? And that's a win. I don't care what Orgeron's doing. Maybe he is kind of a goofy coach, but I know it's at home, but that's a hell of a comeback. Because up until this week, Auburn had been scoring about 45, 50 points a game, and they were smoking teams. And you're like, oh, man, they were up 20-0. Like, I kind of quit watching because there were so many games on that afternoon. And I keep checking my phone. I'm like, well, 20-7, 20-14. Holy cow, LSU's winning. Holy cow, their defense stood up. Game over. It's like, wait, you're telling me that the guy that people don't think is a good coach whose team lost to Troy at home, that's becoming a laughing stock. Just Auburn, who is maybe the best team in the country, off a 20-point down deficit at home. Like, I got to give them props. That was a nice win. Now, maybe they're going to come back and fall flat again, but props to Orgeron, because he's got something. He deserves some type of credit for that win at home. We'll see how they continue to progress, but I think out of all the games, Chris, that one was the biggest head-scratcher to me because of how good of a team Auburn was and kind of how poorly trending LSU was. I mean, with all the other games, it was an upset team and kind of like, oh, they kind of came out flat. That one was, you kind of knew what to expect, and they kind of flipped the script in the second quarter of the game. So, nice one by LSU.
Yeah, no doubt about that. That was a surprise. That was definitely a surprise. Not a surprise that it would have been, you know, a tight game and stuff, but
sure.
Big surprise. Once you see them up, like you said, and Auburn's been playing lights out on defense, I mean, they lost to Clemson 14-6. You know what I mean? In Clemson. You know, it's yeah, man, that was a surprise. And, you know, let's give credit to the players as well, obviously.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, just give credit to,
yes,
to the coach. But yeah, man, that's a much needed win just in general. You know, in the Bayou country, just in general, dude, they needed
mm-hmm.
that. No doubt about it. Just kind of going over a couple of these games. Thursday night, Memphis, number 25, just got in the rankings off that Navy win against Houston, who's 4-2 and still can put up points. They're actually, Houston is a 3-point favorite. I like Memphis to win that game, but that's kind of an interesting game. Oklahoma State has to travel to Texas. That's probably a damn good game. Yeah, it's up to 16 now, that Miami-Syracuse. I was saying 15 or 16. It is all the way up to 16, according to ESPN. Just looking at that going, yeah, Miami could finally explode, but I don't know, man. I don't know if they'll beat them by that. I mentioned the Central Florida going against Navy. I think that'll be good. And by the way, on Tuesdays, Showtime, it's been 3 years now, Notre Dame, Florida State, and now Navy. They have the half-hour show where they follow the season. So it's Navy, the season, basically. It's really interesting. You get an in-depth look at the locker room. You get the highlights of the game, the ups and downs and all around. So I'm looking forward to watch that a little bit later. But anyone that likes that, it's on Showtime, and you can find it on YouTube, Showtime Sports as well, if you don't have Showtime. We always talk about Kansas State, even though they really haven't looked that good this year. They're always competitive. Oklahoma can't slip on the road. LSU against Ole Miss a year or two ago. Man, that's a hell of a matchup. Still could be a really good game. What else we got? I think that's it beyond the ones we already obviously talked about. Let's dive in to the big ones, though. And we might as well start with your squad right off the bat. Number 11, USC. Number 13, Notre Dame. Like I mentioned, they only lost by 1 point, I think 20-19, against Georgia, who looks the part defensively and offensively this year. Basically, I think the winner of this, you know, mid-season non-conference test obviously places them right back in the national picture. Especially, obviously, USC. As I mentioned, Brandon Wimbush has been cleared, and that kind of adds another element to their offense, especially the run game. They got a very potent run game, got a good running back already, and that can just help your overall offense when you got a running quarterback and a good running back, I was about to say. But I just said it anyway. But, you know, because you got to cover up all the little things and the little edges, and you just don't know which way it's going to go. Trojans coming off that nice little rally. Obviously, can USC limit their turnovers? That's huge. And can Notre Dame be productive enough on offense to get the job done? Because you know USC's going to put up some points. How do you see this one playing out, man?
Well, again, just looking at the schedule, I'm a little scared because Notre Dame's coming off a bye. So they got 2 weeks to prep against us, get fully healthy. It's at home. I mean, that sucks. That doesn't help too much. And when you look at Notre Dame's schedule, they lost to Georgia. Georgia, clearly, barring they don't, blow a 20-point lead this weekend, will be one of the top dogs. I mean, that's a respectable game. They went to BC and won 49-20. Now, when that game happened week three, you're like, whatever. But BC played Clemson super tight with a healthy quarterback for the whole game, and they just thumped Louisville. And they just dropped like 45 points on Louisville. So the BC game to beat them, that's a pretty nice win. And Michigan
State.
Michigan
State, too, yep.
Yeah, I mean, that's, so you could say, Notre Dame left for themselves. With the way the schedules have played out, yes, they have. Now, they beat Carolina going into the bye. Carolina in football this year has just been garbage. But I do think playing against a team with a bye week hurts because we're still trying to get a little more healthy. Now, I think if our offense is rolling, there's not really a defense that can, stop us. I think we'll score points. And, again, defensively, you don't hear many people talk about USC's defense, but I'm always kind of playing around fine with it. Let people talk about Sam all day, good and bad, for better or worse. But that USC defense is legit. And I don't see a team, outrun. I mean, we've played Stanford. We've played Utah. We've played Texas. We've been pretty well tested this year. So, and we played Wazoo or Washington State. I mean, I don't think we're going to be facing a team that should scare us. Unless we got to go down to Tuscaloosa, which I don't think is on our schedule. We've taken some punches and punched back. So I think we're a better team than Notre Dame. But the health factor I don't think hurts. Having next week to prep does matter. That's 2 weeks to say how are we going to stop Sam Darnold. And I think the main point for me to wrap this up is that what kind of offense are we going to get? Are we going to get a rhythm to our offense that occasionally we have? Or is it going to be like the Texas game where we have, first and goal and we can't punch it in from the one like three times in a row? Or T. Martin just can't seem to call plays that get Sam Darnold in rhythm or an offensive lineman gets hurt? Because, man, when we moved the ball in Utah in the fourth quarter, it was like, dude, just turn the ball and let's go. Utah's defense had no business stopping us. It was just game on, here we go. And it was a beautiful thing. But the first 2.5 quarters of that game, our offense was like, oh, God, someone's got to make a play here and break something out crazy. So USC being so hot and cold, brother, I think we can beat Notre Dame, but you can't keep digging yourself in holes or you can't be a flat team in the first half and expect to bounce back every time just based off your quarterback, because that's not a good recipe for success.
Yeah, man, those turnovers continue to be an issue, whether it's fumble or interception. And Notre Dame, I mean, we're going to find out a whole lot about Notre Dame here in October and November because they obviously play USC. Then, oh, by the way, Stanford. Then play Wake Forest, not a bad team, play at the U, and then play Navy, and then, that looked weird. Oh, NC State first. I looked at it, and it looked like a Stanford, and now I see they end with Stanford. I see the tree, and I was like, oh, wait. So they got USC. NC State, who's pretty damn good this year, Wake Forest, no pushover, Miami is the U, Navy, wow, dude, have fun
that's
with that,
gauntlet.
Man. Yeesh, that's a rough one, man. That is a rough, we're going to find out a whole lot. I like USC, though. I do like USC, and I'm assuming you're going to pick them to get the W as well.
Yes, I will
pick
them.
Is that true?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. I do know you, so I figured I didn't want to just pick for you, but, I know how it goes. Let's see here. Penn State, number 2, because, a bunch of teams moved up or moved down because of all the ruckus from week 7, going against number 19, Michigan. Now, obviously, very important Big Ten matchup, and this marks a string of several games in a row for Penn State. Speaking of Penn State, we're going to find out a whole lot about Penn State in the next, like, 4 or 5 weeks. If you look at the beginning of the season for both these squads, you look at Penn State and you thought their defense could improve. It seems like they've improved, whereas the big weakness was offense for Michigan, and it seems like they've regressed on offense. Red zone efficiency is just a glaring issue for Michigan. I think they'll come to play and all that, right? But I just think when push comes to shove, Penn State will just outscore them. And I like Penn State to win this game, but I do look for Michigan actually to have one of their best performance. I'm going to say they're going to have their best performance of the year, just because they're bound to. I mean, even that Florida game, there were so many, like, what the hell's going on? You know, pick six. They've just had a horrendous year, but I do think they'll show up, but it's not going to matter. I like Penn State to get the job done, man. That red zone offense is just – and if you look at Penn State, they're the complete opposite. They're very solid there. So it does seem like they shored up their defense a little bit anyway. They haven't played, you know, a bunch of good teams yet, so we're going to find out. But I do like Penn State and McSorley and Barkley to get the job done, even if it does turn into a bit of a shootout, which I just don't think it will. Maybe for a quarter, could be the fourth quarter or something. But I just think, obviously, Michigan, you know, the one thing we know they have is defense. So I think that'll keep them in the game. And I look for some of those young wide receivers to make some plays on the ball instead of dropping it. Going with Penn State, though.
Yeah, I think it'll be a very fun matchup to watch, Chris, of how Saquon Barkley does against Michigan. I think that he is the most athletic player in college football. That the guy's just a raw athlete. That he's just a beast. So it'll be cool to see if Michigan can contain him. Now, by contain him, that means he could easily have 25 carries for like a buck 30. But that's probably not that bad of a job, you know. If those buck 30s, 4 yards, 5 yards, 4 yards, 5 yards, 4 yards, 5 yards, you know, because the guy never falls backward. And you can keep him from breaking one for 70 or 80. I think that's got to be your game plan. Now, obviously, the game is at Penn State, so that's a little extra pressure on the Michigan quarterback. I think the Michigan quarterback issue is, like, obviously a big problem. I don't know, the weather is bad in Michigan State. When you throw five picks, like, I just think that there's kind of too many angles going against Michigan and Scott's boys, because Your quarterback's got to play lights out on the road, and your defense literally can't take a playoff. I think that McSorley is a pretty good quarterback, but I don't think he's an elite-level quarterback. I think if you're Michigan, you got to come up with some type of game plan to say, hey, we're not going to try to let Saquon Barkley beat us, or Saquon, right?
Yep.
Yeah, sorry, I'm getting tired here, long day. I don't let the running back beat you, make McSorley beat you. And with as good a defense as Harbaugh has, I think that's an approach you can take and try to execute to the fullest. Because, and for Michigan on offense, I would maybe try to, you know, go a little slow, keep Penn State off the field, and just try to work your way down the field. Because I don't think Penn State's defense is as good as Michigan. No, I'm not saying Penn State's defense is a sieve and a joke, but I think Michigan has the X's and O's advantage on a defensive standpoint. So Michigan, it just come up with, I guess, maybe an offense to try to maintain possession and just try to keep the ball out of Barkley's hands, and hopefully your quarterback can finally step up and have a great game. Almost every week we talk about how Michigan's quarterback, kind of just sucks every week. You need to step up on the road, get together, hope your defense pulls off the perfect storm and you can get a W. But I'm with you, Chris. I like Penn State. I just hope there's too many X factors going the wrong way, unfortunately, for Michigan Wolverines.
Yeah, definitely. A couple of games to point out, more of the hardcore barn burner type. ASU, the newly found defense, the newly found team in general, they really turned it around against Oregon. When Oregon had looked like they were like kind of coming back, especially offensively, they ended up getting by Oregon a couple weeks back. They have to travel on the road versus Utah. Another interesting game in the Pac-12 is Arizona-Cal. I think that'll be a fun little shootout. There's another game here that I was eyeballing that I thought that'll be pretty fun. Dude, what was it? I mean, beyond the one that, yeah, I did already mention the Navy game. I think that I want to see Central Florida against Navy. I think that'll be an actually interesting game, and it's important for Central Florida, who's trying to build that case to be the best non-Power Five and get, you know, that New Year's Eve, New Year's Day stuff. And also that Memphis, I mentioned that. Go ahead.
Just to throw 2 cents on that Central Florida team is nasty. I mean, that team looks like they are literally, when I watched them play Memphis, they appeared to be just like a size bigger. It was like freshmen against seventh graders. Like that guy's got, they have an offensive line and some like receivers. You're like, dude, you should be in the NFL. And they've been throwing people. I don't care, like you said earlier, I don't care what your schedule is. If you win 10 in a row, that's a compliment to your Canes. I don't care who you are. If we're in conference play and you're dropping 55 to 60 on teams without blinking an eye, dude, that Central Florida team is good, Chris. I don't know what they did, because 2 years ago I think they went 0-12, and they got Scott Frost as coach, and last year was like 6-6. But this year, they're world beaters. That is a team I would not want to play. So if we're looking at one of the best teams in the country, not in the Power Five, that is a nasty, nasty team that would probably give a lot of teams in the main fives run for their money. But I'm all in on that bandwagon, because I've only seen them play a little bit. But, I mean, they destroyed Memphis. They ran Cincinnati out the gym if it wasn't for a weather delay. And then they murdered East Carolina. Yeah. But they've been doing it by 50 to 60 points a game. And that's like going easy in the fourth quarter. So maybe good luck. I know you run your option. You're kind of one of those tough teams that wears you down. I don't think they wear down a team that appears to be tougher and bigger than you. So I'm all in, and I'm going to tape that game and watch it so I can build a little more of an image in my head. But that Central Florida squad seems legit, Chris. I think that's one we're going to be talking about for the rest of the year, and hopefully it'll be them against South Florida for maybe that's the last game of the regular season for that conference. That could be a hell of a fun one to watch, too.
Yeah, and, you know, considering they had two games canceled, you know, those back-to-back weeks, like a lot of Florida teams did, they hit the ground running after that, whereas sometimes it kind of mattered how bad your campus got it. Could you practice still on your campus when the storm went, or did you have to travel someplace else, or, you know, all that stuff? And I was wondering, you know, how that was going to respond. They didn't take – it wasn't three – I don't think it was – yeah, it was 3 weeks, I think. 3 weeks between a game, just like Miami. And it's tough because a chunk of that time you're not practicing. You know, you're home or you're evacuating or you're whatever. And it's rough. Obviously, I don't know it personally, but I follow the Hurricanes, so I know what they were up against. And the conditioning alone, you know, all of a sudden you don't have game legs. And you're like, oh, shit. You know what I mean? Wow. And obviously when you play in Florida, that shit's hot, you know. So I was really impressed how they've done that. I definitely looking forward to that, you know, just following them in general. Like you said, I agree with you. Memphis-Houston, that should be a good game. Also, Louisville and Florida State, a year ago, you know, we're looking at ranked versus ranked. They have Florida State a 6.5 game favorite. I know Louisville just got beat, but I feel like they're going to pull off the upset. And also, Texas Tech looking to bounce back against the Iowa State. You know, that should be a really good game. These are more of the, you know, unranked but still right on that cusp or had just been ranked, like Texas Tech, like a lot of these teams I'm mentioning. and just lost, and I want to see how they bounce back. But just as far as, you know, some of these big games that we talk about turn out to be blowouts, and you want to flip around, next thing you know, that's more of the hardcore barn burner type. So any other games that pique your interest? Otherwise, we should probably get out of here, man, so you can get to sleep. And obviously, we got to do the veteran pick. But, hey, by the way, did you hear about Hayward?
Yeah. Hey,
Hayward basketball.
No.
Hayward. Okay. He broke his ankle in about 4 minutes into the game, and it's
Seriously?
One of those where. Yep. It's one of those where the ankle is to the side of your leg, where it's grotesque.
Oh.
He did it within the first couple minutes of the game, man, and the whole stadium, the whole everything. There was just. It was bad, man. I really feel for him. So I just wanted to say that. I figured you hadn't heard that, man. But,
yeah.
Really rough, dude. The whole place was just, no matter what side, they were all, like, praying and on the ground. And it just, like, just in shock and just feel for the guy, man. So, yeah, he literally broke his ankle. You can see it clearly the second it happened. It was an alley-oop toss. Braun made a good play out of it to break up the play, and he just landed funky because, you know, when you have some contact in the air, you never know where your body goes in basketball, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times that's where they fall down and hit their back or their ass or their tailbone, you know, or they'll mess up their wrist that way because they're trying to put a hand down. Yeah, it was rough, man. I really feel for him. It was one of those grotesque things, man. But hopefully, you know, since it is the beginning of the season, you know, maybe he could make his way back and get back by the playoffs, you know. That would be great. But either way, I just hope for a full recovery. Yeah, man. And also a full recovery to the guy, the Border State quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. I hope he makes a full recovery from the collarbone. But I got news for you. When you're outside the pocket, you are a runner. That one-step shit does not count, folks. So any Packer fans that's pissed, be pissed, but don't be pissed at our guy Barr, okay? Sorry, Rodgers, but you got hit. That's all that happened there. It was not horribly illegal. He crammed me into the turf. Oh, give me a break. Anyway, let's get back. At least we're talking football now. Let's get back.
True.
We got to get this, you know, whatever else you wanted to get out, let's get to that and then the crafty, and then we'll get you to be able to get some sleep here, man, because your squad's doing pretty good right now, too.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm happy to do the show. If my 18 were lost tonight, it would have been a little tough. But I'm happy my boys got W. But I will be seeing them in about 7 hours. So I'm ready to go to bed. overall, I'm with you. I think you mentioned. But even like that Arizona Cal, that's a super home game in Pac-12 to watch. To kind of throw a nightcap in. And I'll say this, Chris. If Tennessee and Butch Jones, if he wants to keep his job because he is about a millisecond away from keeping it, just go down to Tuscaloosa and beat Bama.
He's going to get fired on the tarmac, dude.
I would love to actually see the Tennessee reaction of if they somehow, by the grace of God, could beat Bama. You go from a guy that everyone hates, that no one wants, and – you could not legit fire a coach if you go into Tuscaloosa and beat Bama. So my only miracle is I hope Tennessee somehow beats them. Because then Butch Jones is going to be like, dude, all you haters can back off. I just went into Tuscaloosa and beat Bama. I'm keeping my damn job, you know. Or maybe, well, I don't like y'all anymore. I'm going to quit. That's my last game. You don't find yourself a new coach. So we'll see. Now, more likely, it's probably going to be 56-6 Bama, but you never know. So, with that being said, for the crafty, crappy pick of the week, whichever you want to use, there was a game that stood out.
I like the combination name, dude. I like the combination name.
Yeah, the crafty, crappy pick of the week. I think that's good.
That's
we've
nice.
Been having some repeat, some repeat offenders, and I don't want that to be too big of a deal because we normally – wait, no, it's just going to be that way. But I did find something that just popped up. Let's check the overall records. Yeah, repeat offenders.
I saw one that stood out. I was like, oh, shit. He's going right there, but he's going to switch it up. All right.
Yeah, well, switch it up. We have the Central Michigan Chippewas, who are fourth in the MAC West Conference, going against the Ball State. I believe they're the Cardinals or the Redhawks. I believe they're the Ball State Cardinals, who are 2-4 in the MAC West. This game is being played at Schumann Stadium in Muncie, Indiana. You know, good old Muncie. I think there's some basketball thing or something about that. Muncie, I think, I don't know, some popular person's from there or somebody. Okay? It's at 2 o'clock.
This is when we need Scott.
Yeah, I know. The line opened at -2.5 Central Michigan. It's now -3. So all the Sharks in Vegas are like, dude, I see that line, and I don't respect them raising up 3 points. You got the road team favored by 3. They're walking into Schumann Stadium in Muncie. Is Larry Bird from there, or am I just losing it?
You're losing it.
Okay, something.
I mean, I don't think you're losing it, but it's not Larry Bird.
Yeah. Okay. Well, some player, because I've heard that city a lot mentioned. But anyway, I mean, I rest my case.
If it's in Indiana, then there's probably about 17 players from there.
So, what do you like in the matchup of the Chippewas against the Ball State Cardinals, a 2 o'clock kickoff? We got the road team is favored. That seems to always be the MO for this deal. What are your thoughts and theories on the 2-4 Ball State Cardinals against the 3-4 Central Michigan Chippewas, Chris?
You did pick a dandy. According to ESPN's Football Power Index, Ball State 51.7% favored to win this game. So it's 50-50. I'd say you're looking at Central Michigan, the Chippewas, and they played a better schedule, but they didn't really, like, look respectable in some of those games, so that really doesn't mean much. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, they got their ass kicked by tougher teams. Great. It looks pretty even, though. They both give up about 30 points a game. They both can't score a lick, both at 20 points. You know, I'm going Central Michigan. And this is what I'm doing. This is why I'm doing it. I'm doing it because they beat Oklahoma, or should have beat Oklahoma State last year. Or no, they did, but shouldn't have. That was the team. Remember that play? It was all messed up, and the play shouldn't even counted and shit like that. That's why I'm going with them. A team, something they did last year. That's what we're going with. They challenged themselves in the schedule this year. Okay, I'm going Central Michigan to get the job done over those mean Cardinals. The Chippewas are coming into town, and they're going to get the job done and go back to Michigan, where they play some football in that state, not basketball.
I'm gonna go there with you. Wow, we have an NBA ref that appears like hurt his ribs. I got to go and see him on it. One of the Golden State guys like turned to go down the court, and it was kind of a turnover pass, and the ref is now walking off the court. So we have a star player get hurt and a ref walk off the court for injured ribs. I don't think I've ever seen that either. This is not a good omen for basketball tonight, Chris. You got a star player and a ref leaving the court, Mike. Drink your chocolate and milk and eat your PBs and J's, guys. You need to keep those muscles tight.
Yeah, no kidding.
I do know that Dan LeFever was a Central Michigan Chippewa quarterback, and he played. He got drafted in the NFL.
Yes, you are definitely right. I remember that guy.
And I cannot name a Ball State player. That does not mean there's not a Ball State player in the NFL, because there probably is, but I do not know of any of them. So I will hop on your back there, and and take the Central Michigan Chippewas, because who doesn't like saying the word Chippewa? So, this was a late-night show, but after the catastrophe and bloodbath, what happened last week, I said that's a show we have to do. And it was a beautiful, beautiful weekend of complete chaos. Thankfully, both of our teams survived, but you had a fluke good catch, and I had a guy go for
cardiac
gain. So it easily could have been a USC loss by one and a Miami loss on a bobble play. So I mean, we skated by the edge of our teeth on that one, Chris. But hey,
we got to count our blessings on this, man.
So we'll be back next week. I will not promise you a show that matched this one in regards to bringing out games, because I don't know if we could handle another one. I'm not sure if the college football gods are ready for it. But nonetheless, Chris and I will be back. Hopefully our man Scott can join us. As always, I pray that everyone that's listening to the show has a good, safe, and healthy week with their family and their loved ones. It's either we've talked about a shooting or hurricanes, and now the wildfires in California devastating people. So I'd like to have a show one time this year where we can just have a peaceful show of weather and people getting along in the world, because man, the weather is
we haven't even brought up the president one time on this show. That just shows you where we're at, you know what I mean? It's like, wow.
Yeah, we haven't even got there, and God knows that could be a podcast. I don't want to get started there, but I mean, that does say something.
It really does.
I'd like to have the weather just be nice to people. I always show my kids. I'll finish this. I always show my kids CNN News. They do they do CNN News for kids, because to keep kids up to date with how things in the world are going for a junior high kid level, and seeing these people shoot these like selfie videos of, this is where my house was, and you look back and you see like a burnt bookcase and like crumbs and rubble and stuff, and it's like, dude, I can never imagine going back to my place where all I see is like burnt ash, and that's where my house was. And this one dude's like, yeah, I got my two dogs, and that's it. I'm happy to be alive, and I got my two dogs, but my house is gone. So I just, let's have the weather calm down a little bit, because it's been affecting. I don't even know where you start throwing money. Texas needs money. Florida needs money. Puerto Rico needs money. Now California, it's just like, my Lord, let's have something peaceful. So on that note, I'll finish with that. We will be back next week. We will clearly have some type of upset to happen. I think that's just kind of the year it is. Something crazy is going to occur, and we get to enjoy it as football fans. And even the NFL this year, the underdogs are crushing it, like more so than normal for betting in the NFL. So. The underdogs in college football and pro football are raking in some dough. If you can find one, bet it and take it to the bank. So we'll be back.
They've been crushing it kind of like a collarbone when you crush a collarbone. Oh, my bad. My bad. Too early. Sorry, Packer fans. It just made me think of that.
the boys will be back. We might have a couple of dirty emails being sent our way from he's the best quarterback I've ever seen play in my life, and that's coming from a Randy Moss fan. So I hate seeing go down to you. A sport never benefits when you got J.J. Watt, Aaron Rodgers, and Odell all out. That's not good for NFL, no matter who you cheer for. But the boys will be back next week, wound up and ready to talk about a bunch of great football. God knows how many upsets. And until then, take care. Have a nice night. We're out. Peace.